How's it going, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Plus Added Time with me, Scott Robertson here. Well, it was certainly an interesting week in the world of football. There's so much to get through, so I'm just going to sort of crack on straight to it. I think the main topic of conversation for this episode is VAR and the handball rule. I mean, it is an absolute joke. Give you the perfect example. It was the Tottenham Newcastle game. Newcastle got a 97th minute penalty when Eric Dier basically handled it as he was jumping up to try and defend a header, and they deemed it was in an unnatural position. But what are you expected to do? How can a player jump without using his arms as a bit of leverage? A bit of leverage. So are you expecting all footballers to jump up like salmon with their arms like down by their sides? Is that how you expect players to defend or jump for headers now? By looking like complete and utter idiots. It's an absolute joke. It is killing. It's killing football. At least VAR's gotten slightly better because the referees are actually looking at the monitors. But it's the handball rule. It's the handball rule has become an absolute farce. And David Ellery, the guy who implemented this rule, was a shit referee when I was a kid. And he's shit at his job now. And the other example would be the Man United Brighton game, which was a bit nuts, because I have never seen this happen before. I don't think I've ever seen it happen. I've seen clips of where like a goal is scored as the ref's blowing the full-time whistle. Or like when the players or ref's blown for half-time, when a player's like clean through on goal. But the weird thing was, so Manchester, the game finished 2-2 after, well, we thought it finished 2-2 after Brighton had scored a late equaliser. Man United were trying to get the winner. The ref had blown for full time. But apparently, Neil Maupay handled in the build-up. So they gave a pen after the full-time whistle had gone. And it was a great penalty for Bruno Fernandes. But that seemed more like a correct decision. Because Neil Maupay, karma bit him in the ass. Because he did a brilliant Panenka and then stupidly did the crybaby celebration. And karma basically bit him in the ass. But I think for me is, I don't know, is my love and passion for football going away because of these ridiculous rules? I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it's one of those where I feel, yeah, losing my love of football at the moment. But there's more football than just all the stupid rules. There has been some brilliant football this weekend. And It was so good to see. I mean, West Brom Chelsea, for example, was a weird game, shall we say. West Brom, one of my good friends, Reese, he is a West Brom fan, although he says he's a Leeds fan. Reese, make your mind up. So I'll talk about both your teams. Your other team, Leeds, got a great 1-0 win against Sheffield United. 1-0 with Patrick Bamford. But are Sheffield United having the second season syndrome that you hear so much about when a promoted team stays up but then they struggle in the second half? Because Chris Wilder has got a way of Sheffield United playing. But have teams kind of figured out how they play and how to sort of stop them? And Leeds did it. I mean, their goalkeeper pulled off some tremendous saves in this game. Absolutely incredible saves. And Patrick Bamford has sort of become this new player. He was criticised a little bit when he was in the Championship for having, I think, the most shots on target without scoring. But he's got Leeds. Again, Leeds are... I'm so happy Leeds are back in the Premier League. But I'll go back to the West Brom-Chelsea game, which I think was the most maddest game of the weekend. Well, Man United-Brighton aside, but this one was... So West Brom had gone 3-0 up with Kyle Bartley, ex-Rangers player. Callum Robinson scored the first two. And Thiago Silva had a nightmare in his Chelsea debut. But Lampard did make some decent changes. He brought on Azpilicueta, and you could see there was a clip. Azpilicueta just sort of, he is the Chelsea captain for a reason. He just sort of had this lift, and then Chelsea came back, and then he had some sort of weird formation, Lampard, near the end of the game. I couldn't work it out myself. Even the commentators, I was listening to it on the radio, where the commentators were trying to work out what formation, because they thought Timo Werner was playing right wing back, but he wasn't. I think he was playing like a 4-0-6 or something. I just don't know, but they ended up getting the draw. But they unfortunately lost at the weekend, in midweek, to Tottenham in the Carabao Cup. Probably could be more famous for Eric Dier walking off and taking a shit and Jose Mourinho going after him. I mean, I could understand why Jose went after him, because Dier just walked off. What if Tottenham had conceded while Dier was off the pitch having a shit? People were saying stuff about Jose. I thought he had the right to do it. He had the right to go in. And then fair play Eric Dier. He put up a picture on his Instagram, I believe, where he put the man of the match or something trophy on the toilet. I thought, very good. Very, very good. Fair play to Mr. Dier there. But no, Tottenham went through, and they'll be joined by Newcastle, who just scraped through again on penalties. As I'm recording this, Liverpool-Arsenal is tonight, but they also played on Monday night. Yes, my team won very well against... I thought we would have a bit of a wobble against Arsenal. We did a little bit when Arsenal took the lead from Lacazette, but we got a goal straight back from Sadio Mane. But now, I know what you're thinking. Sadio should have not been on the pitch. And that's true. He should have been sent off for the red for a slight elbow on Kieran Tierney. But I thought Liverpool were great. Diego Jota, I'm so pleased Jota got his first goal. But it's weird. Jota did more in 10 minutes than Roberto Firmino did in the entire game. I thought Bobby was poor on Monday night. But the other thing that I know, if Lacazette had buried that chance when it was 2-1, then it would have been a completely different game, in my opinion. But I'm pleased Liverpool got the win. Leicester City scoring 5 against Man City, not at home, at the Etihad. Man City looked pathetic. They looked awful. Their defence is just so wrong. They've got very good players, but as a team, defensively, they looked all over the place. They gave away 3 penalties, and they were all the same, like, style in which they gave away the penalties. But I thought City were rank. I thought Leicester looked great. I still maintain, because they are going to be in the Europa League, can they keep this up? Some of the other things I noticed were Leicester have this ability to sell some of their better players and then bring in someone that you don't really know, and then they're actually maybe better than the players that they brought in, that they sold. So, like, when they sold Harry Maguire summer before, Soyuncu came in and immediately I thought was a better defender. And then they've just sold Ben Chilwell to Chelsea. And they also, then they brought in this boy Castagna from Atalanta. And he was superb at the weekend. And I think he scored as well. So Leicester have a tendency to do that, where I think they sell maybe their better player and then have this ability. They've got a great recruitment where they've bought someone in a similar position that might actually be better than what they've got. But I was stunned by the Leicester result. I just heard it on the radio. I couldn't believe what I was listening. And then I saw the highlights and I was like, no, Leicester were actually really good. It was not the case of City being bad. And then they just, but it was just defensively, City just looked hopeless. I mean, they've just signed Ruben Diaz for $65 million. And Nicolas Otamendi's gone the other way to Benfica. Is that going to solve their problems? I don't think so. Could this be the last season of Pep at City? Who knows? But it's not looking the best, is it? The other main sort of talking point I wanted to talk about in the Premier League was the weird thing with Fulham. Fulham have been rank. They have been shite. And then their director, chairman, Tony Khan, has come out and basically slandered them. And then Scott Parker has come out and said, oh, he shouldn't have done it. I mean, the chairman shouldn't have done it. I mean, I would stick to doing what you're doing. Just keep your mouth shut or just mention your AEW wrestling thing. But no, Fulham were awful against Villa. Villa looked actually really good. And they've just signed Ross Barkley, for God's sake. Villa mean business this season. I think they've been a lot smarter this time in the transfer market than what they did in the first season, where I think they just went and grabbed any player they could under the sun. Some worked, some didn't. But I think they've been a lot smarter. They brought in a really good goalkeeper in Emiliano Martinez. Who else did they bring in this summer? Ollie Watkins from Brentford, who hopefully gets a goal. It was one of those where I was gutted he didn't get a goal against Fulham. And then they've brought in Ross Barkley. I think Villa have done okay, but well, again, it's too early in the season to say like they'll do well this season, but they could go on like a 7-game losing streak. But no, Villa look good, but no, Fulham are going straight back down. I believe even a bookie has paid out on Fulham getting relegated this season. That's how bad Fulham have been in these past 3 games. The other results, Southampton got a good win against Burnley, their first win of the season thanks to Danny Ings. Everton have gone 3-for-3 in the Premier League. They beat Crystal Palace 2-1 thanks to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who is scoring again. And as I'm recording this, has just been called into the England squad and scored a hat-trick last night against West Ham in the Cup. Yep, Richarlison scored with Cech Kouyaté getting the Palace consolation, and West Ham beating Wolves 4-0. David Moyes is obviously managing the game from home because he has tested positive for coronavirus. Wish Mr. Moyes a speedy recovery. But goals from two from Jared Bowen, Raul Jimenez on goal, and Sebastian Haller gave his side a 4-0 win. I'm going to do my predictions for this weekend. So I'll just quickly rattle through them. The 3rd of October, we've got Chelsea Palace. I think Chelsea will bounce back from their midweek exploit, so I'm going to go Chelsea. Everton Brighton, I am going to go for Everton. Leeds Man City, I'm going to go a draw. Newcastle Burnley, I think will be a draw as well. And then all the other, the rest of the teams are playing on Sunday. No Monday night games because it's the international break coming up. Leicester, West Ham, got to go for Leicester. Southampton, West Brom, I think it'll be a draw. I think it will go Arsenal to beat Sheffield United, Wolves to beat Fulham, Tottenham to beat Manchester United, and I've got Liverpool to beat Aston Villa. So that is what I think of the Premier League, and that is sort of the main things I wanted to mention from the Premier League. So I'm going to move on to my beloved Scottish Premiership. And it was more of a case of the Rangers and Celtic getting comfortable wins at the weekend. They're both playing on Sunday, having played in Europe. Rangers disposed of Motherwell 5-1. I thought it would be a bit more competitive with it being at Far Park. But Rangers looked great. Scored two excellent goals from Jordan Jones and Cedric Eaton. And then two penalties from James Tavernier. The only disappointment was they didn't keep a clean sheet thanks to George Edmondson on goal. But Celtic did against the team that Rangers drew with last weekend, Hibs. Goals from McGregor, I can't even say the boy's name. And what have Celtic got players that I can't even pronounce the names of? Celtic looked a lot better than what they did against Livingston. Same with Rangers. And again, Aberdeen looked great. What I've noticed with Derek McInnes is he's playing with the back three and he's playing wing backs. And I think it suits the personnel at Aberdeen. And I think it's suiting the way Aberdeen are playing. And they got a brilliant 3-0 win away at Ross County. Watkins, and then two penalties from Lewis Ferguson, sorry. And then the other games, Hamilton and Dundee United drew 1-1, Livingston beat St Johnstone, and St Mirren lost against Kilmarnock. And then the games, they've actually got four games on the Friday night, and then two on the Sunday. Celtic and Rangers are playing in Europe tonight. I think Rangers will beat Ross County. Celtic should beat St Johnstone. Killy Motherwell, I'm going to go a draw. Aberdeen should beat St Mirren. I think Dundee United will beat Livingston. And I think Hibs should beat Hamilton. That is what I am going to go with. Now, I wanted to bring up a new feature on this channel. It is called Tactic Corner. It's where I look at a particular manager or a particular team and look at the tactics that a team has employed and see if it's any different to some of the previous managers that have taken place. And with it being the first game of the Ronald Koeman era at Barcelona, I thought I would look at the sort of formation and tactics that Ronald Koeman employed at Barcelona. Now, Barcelona have always been sort of this tiki-taka, the tiki-taka side, really focused on possession. However, they had 57% possession against Barcelona, which isn't a lot. But then I look at the sort of formation that Barcelona applied. And normally, when I've ever seen Barcelona, when they had Pep, Tito Villanova, Luis Enrique, Quique Setién, and Valverde, they've always gone with a 4-3-3 with your traditional back four, hold midfielder Sergio Busquets, two centre midfielders, and then your wingers and your striker. But I believe that Koeman went with a 4-2-3-1, which he has used so often. When he was in the Premiership with Southampton, it worked to a great effect because he had guys like, he had Schneiderlin, Holden, he had Tadic playing the number 10, he had Mane on one wing. It worked really well. It didn't work so much maybe at Everton, but this is what he did. And so he had Neto in goal, He had Sergio Roberto right back, Piqué and Longley were his centre backs, Jordi Alba left back. But he had Busquets and De Jong as sort of his centre mids, holding mids. And then on the right, he had Griezmann. No, on the right he had Ansu Fati. On the left he had Antoine Griezmann, or they could interchange between the two. Coutinho played as his number 10. Or he would have played as the other midfielder alongside De Jong with Busquets sort of dropping in. And then Messi was playing not on the wing, but as a centre forward. And it worked. They ran out comfortably 4-0 winners against Villarreal, who are coached by... Good evening. Unai Emery. But I think the most impressive performance of the weekend was Atletico Madrid. Ran out 6-1 winners against Granada. And their deadly striker lineup of Diego Costa and Luis Suarez both scored. Costa got the first, Suarez got the last two. And then Real Madrid, they only won 3-2 against Real Betis. Valverde, an own goal and a penalty from Sergio Ramos after being 2-1 behind thanks to Mandy and William Carvalho. Cadiz got their first... No, that was last weekend. My apologies. Sevilla, after the disappointment of the Super Cup, they got a 3-1 win thanks to two goals in injury time from El Hadadi and Ivan Rakitic. So, the big guns in Sevilla in Spain all won at the weekend. Now, I'm going to move on to the Serie A. Yep, Inter and Atalanta got big wins last night. Inter beat I am going to struggle with these names. Benevento, 5-2. Lukaku got 2. And Lautaro Martinez got 1. Atalanta won 4-1. Gosens, Hatabor, and then 2 from Papu Gomez got the wins. But the other ones, AC Milan got another win. Napoli got a big win against Genoa at the weekend. But the big game in Serie A was Roma versus Juventus. And it finished 2-2. 2 from Cristiano Ronaldo. His second was a beautiful header. 35 years old and he could still leap like a salmon. And Roma's two goals come from a guy who used to play for Aston Villa and was an absolute bum, Jordan Veretout. He got both Roma's goals. And Napoli's goal scorers was Chucky Lozano, Zielinski, Mertens, Elmas and Politano. 6-0 against Genoa. That's a big statement from Napoli, who are coached by an absolute nutcase in Gattuso. But at the previous weekend, because all these matches happened, well, the Juventus one was Sunday, but the Saturday, Atalanta scored another 4 goals. Lazio got a 2-0 win against Cagliari from Lazzari, and the European Golden Boot winner last year, Ciro Immobile. Benevento got their first, and then Inter won 4-3 against Fiorentina, which was not bad. I mean, I love the Serie A. It's one of my favourite leagues outside the sort of the Prem and the Scottish League. But I think slowly catching up for me is the Bundesliga. Last night, Bayern won the Super Cup, their 5th trophy. Hansi Flick has won 5 trophies in what, about 40 games. He's averaging like a trophy every 10 games. However, but this was the sort of main talking point in Germany. Bayern got beat. And they got beat quite convincingly by Hoffenheim. 4-1. Kramaric scored 2. Who has now been linked to Bayern Munich. Probably to be backup for Robert Lewandowski. But I never seen a highlight, so I thought Bayern would... Because the jokes going around were, because Dortmund got beat by Augsburg 2-0. And sort of the memes going about was, oh, just give Dortmund the title now. Just give them the title now. And... But no, Bayern sort of fluttered to a 4-1 defeat, which was very, very surprising. I was quite shocked that Bayern lost, but they never capitalised. A big game at the weekend as well in Germany was Leipzig against Leverkusen, but it finished in a 1-1 draw. Wolfsburg and Denver Bay scoring goals in the first half. But no, Bayern solidified that by beating Dortmund in the German Super Cup. And they won quite convincingly. Well, they won, but they were very, very convincing in doing so. Now, I just got to get one last league in. That is the Ligue 1. The big ones, PSG got a 2-0 win against Reims. Both goals from Mauro Icardi. Monaco won 3-2 despite having two players sent off. And Marseille had to get a 95th minute equaliser to draw with Metz. And I believe that is all the leagues covered. And now we are moving on to Scott's random European League of the Week. Yes, and ended up in the US, the MLS, Major League Soccer, which first started in 1996. It currently has 26 teams in the league, which is like big, progressively going up and up and up and up and up and up since sort of the last 10 years that the teams have. And it's similar to what you get in the NFL, the MLB, the NBA. It is split into East and Western conferences. Now, they will play like a full league, which is known as the Supporters' Shield. And then the top eight from each league conference will play... they'll each play in sort of like a playoff style where it's first versus eighth. You get the idea. So it is split... Split into Western and Eastern conferences. I mean, it's also a place where sort of a lot of big stars will maybe finish up their careers in the US. I mean, Pelé and George Best did in the 70s, but David Beckham didn't really, but he sort of kickstarted this sort of revolution. But Steven Gerrard, Ashley Cole, Zlatan. You've got players like Carlos Vela, who was like a big star but has gone to the MLS. Chicharito is now, you'll remember from his time at Manchester United, is playing for LA Galaxy. There's a lot of well-known teams, obviously a lot of some of the newer teams. So I'll rattle through the teams that will be competing in the 2020 MLS. Well, at the moment, and it is the 25th anniversary of the MLS. The Eastern Conference has one extra team from last year, but it's a fairly significant one. It is David Beckham's Inter Miami CF, who have recently just signed Gonzalo Higuain. But I will... They are at the moment, and then some of you might not know some of the coaches. possibly one of the greatest players in the Premier League history, Thierry Henry, is coach of the Montreal Impact after his sort of disaster spell at Monaco. Aberdeen fans, you might know Stephen Glassy is currently the interim head coach at Atlanta United because they were previously run by Frank de Boer, who's now taking the Holland job. And speaking of Holland, Jaap Stam is the coach of one of the newer teams in the league, FC Cincinnati. Bob Bradley, for you UK or Welsh listeners, who was manager of Swansea and was absolutely dire. He is coach of Los Angeles FC. Bruce Arena, US coach. He's now at the New England Revolution. Celtic fans, Ronny Dyer is the New York City FC coach, who, by the way, are sort of half run by Manchester City, or owned by Manchester City. New York Red Bulls have got a team in New York, the New York Red Bulls. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in this league. It's actually, I've watched some of their games and it's not as bad as what people make out to be. I think some of the new teams. Yes, there's four more new teams coming in. Austin FC are going in 2021, so next season. And then there's Charlotte FC that are going in 2022. Sacramento Republic, so another team in California. And St. Louis City FSC are going in as well in 2023. There have been... So Colorado, Columbus, DC, and the LA Galaxy, New England, and the New York Red Bulls have been there from... Oh, no. Right, I'm sorry. I've misread that. So Columbus, Colorado, Colorado Rapids, Columbus Crew, DC United, FC Dallas, but they were originally called Dallas Burn, Sporting Kansas City, but they were originally called the Wizards, the LA Galaxy, the New England Revolution, and the New York Red Bulls, because they were called the Metro Stars, they've all been in since from the very start. San Jose went out for a bit and then came back. Chicago Fire came in 1998. Chivas were in it for a little bit. Miami Fusion and Tampa Bay Mutiny have been in it, but they no longer exist. And some other teams have joined in from other leagues. So Seattle, Vancouver, Portland, Montreal, Orlando, Minnesota, Cincinnati, Nashville, and Sacramento have come from like the lower leagues in the US. But it's still, I still think it's not as big. I don't think it will ever be as big as the other four sports, your NHLs, your MLB, NBA, and the NFL. It'll be big, but not as big as what you make out to be. And that is going to do it for the second episode of Plus Added Time. Thank you so much for listening, watching, wherever you're sort of thinking this podcast from. You can check it out on YouTube at Project Dits. You can check it out also on your main podcast providers. And you can check out my stuff as well. You can follow me on Twitter at RandomScott1990. You can check out my YouTube channel, Scott Through Life. And thank you so much for tuning in. And the final whistle is going in 3, 2, 1.